This information is designed to provide accurate and authoritative information with regard to the subject matter covered. It is offered with the understanding that the presenters are not engaged in rendering legal, accounting, or other professional services. If legal advice or other expert advice is required, the services of a competent professional should be sought.
Well, good morning and welcome, everyone. I am your host, James Orr, and this is another episode about warning, the dangers and risks of investing in real estate. And today we're going to deal with a risk that I think most people believe does not apply to them. And if it does apply to them, they feel they've got solutions to easily dismiss this out of hand as a non-issue. When, in fact, this is a pretty gnarly one. This is about the risks of loans being called due. So, first of all, let's talk about like the general framework for this series of classes. We've been doing a bunch of classes now on warning, danger, the risks of investing in real estate, and we're diving deep into the specific risks that real estate investing has. And we're going to continue with this series. I've got, probably half a dozen more classes, if I had to guess. We talk about all the different risks. But today, let's talk about sort of the framework. So this is a quote from George S. Patton, General Patton, that I've been reading at the beginning of these, related to fears and the risks and overcoming risk and acting despite risks and fears. So the quote is, "The time to take counsel of your fears is before you make an important battle decision." Before you invest in real estate, as an example. That's the time to listen to every fear you can imagine. So go ahead and take in all the fears you've got, all the things, all the stresses, all the things you're uncertain about that you're like, oh, what if this happens? You know, what if a tenant calls me at 3 o'clock in the morning with, you know, an overflowing toilet? How do I deal with that? You know, a common fear of new investors. So that's the time, continue with the quote, "That's the time to listen to every fear you can imagine. When you have collected all the facts and fears and made your decision, then turn off all your fears and go ahead." So while I wanted to take the time to address all of the different fears that exist, all the different fears you might have, all the different fears you don't have but probably should be aware of, there comes a point when you have to say, okay, I understand the battlefield. I understand all the different dangers and risks and things that could go wrong. Now I need to turn off my fears, and I still need to move ahead despite the fears and act regardless of what's going on. So, you know, think about what are your fears related to real estate. Address whatever we can. Come up with solutions of, you know, what is the best plan I have? Not that it's going to be, you know, completely perfect every single time. I mean, we could be driving down the road, staying on our side of the road, doing everything that we're supposed to do, and someone else could make a mistake and, you know, we could end up that being the end. I mean, you know, someone could cross the yellow, double yellow line and take us out completely. We have no control over that. And it is a real risk, you know, and you could to kind of give you a counterexample to this, you could be doing all sorts of crazy stuff driving, you know, doing social media posts, videoing yourself, recording a podcast, putting on makeup, you know, eating a cheeseburger, storing 2 lines of cocaine, you know, slapping the kids in the backseat for misbehaving, and you could make it home safely, even though you're off the other side of the yellow, double yellow line, doing all sorts of craziness. So we can do things when we invest in real estate that are risky and survive and think, oh, you know, it's not a big deal for me to be doing all these bad things because I've never had an accident so far. And you could get lulled into a false sense of security, a false sense of peace and the fact that nothing is going to happen to you when you could be doing everything completely right and just get smacked down. And so that's hard, I think, for a lot of folks. Okay, so let's jump into this. So when are loans called due? You might be thinking to yourself, you know, James, you know, this isn't really a risk for me. I don't even think I'm going to listen to this podcast episode, but you kind of caught my attention. I'm going to kind of talk a little bit about it and I'm going to kind of listen to a little bit about it and see if this really is a risk for me. So when are loans called due? There's kind of two primary reasons and a sort of a third one that kind of catches a lot of people off guard as well. So the three reasons are when are loans called due? Often it's because of balloons that you have when you get loans on properties, or a breach of the underlying like agreement you have with the lender. And then the third one is sort of like when the lender has in writing that they have the right to do something, and you think, and maybe it's because the loan officer says, yeah, this never happens. And you're like, okay, you know, it never happens. It's just in there. It's kind of like their boilerplate. Or maybe you don't even read it, and just kind of like you're oblivious to the risk at all. But sometimes in those loan documents that you sign, the lender has some rights that they can actually choose to enforce or not enforce, depending on what is going on. And we'll talk about a very specific example when we do this. Okay, so let's talk about the first one, though, balloons. So a balloon is when you get a loan, and at a certain point in time, the entire balance of the loan is due and payable. That they say, you know, you go out there and you borrow $1 million to go buy a, you know, 10-plex, you know, 10 apartment building, and the loan is structured such that your payments are based on it being a 25-year amortization loan or 20-year amortization loan, or in some rare cases, a 30-year amortization loan. Most of the time, these commercial loans are going to be like, you know, 25 years or 20 years amortization. So the payment is based on as if you had 20 years to pay the thing off. But then they tell you, you have a 5-year or more likely a 10-year balloon on the loan. And what that means is you're making payments as if this loan is going to last 20 years. However, at the 10-year point, the loan, the entire balance at that point in time is due and payable. And that the lender can, at their option, not decide to renew you and continue with the loan, and that you need to pay off whatever is left over. So if you go out there and you go buy a, I don't know, you go get a, let's call it a $2 million loan. And over the course of the next 10 years, you pay off, I don't know, let's call it, I don't know, some of it. I don't even remember what the loan amount was, $2 million loan. And so let's say you paid off, you know, $500,000 of it. You know, 10 years in the future, maybe you owe $1.5 million left at the time, you know, 10 years down the road. And you're thinking, oh, you know, I'll just go ahead and refi at that point. Well, maybe that's possible, right? You know, if everything goes smoothly and the economy is going the way that you expect it to go, and everything seems like it's great, and the lender's like, yeah, we're still making loans. We'll still continue to do this. We'll go ahead and redo the loan, whatever the current then interest rate is. We'll kind of readjust it up, and we'll requalify you for the loan to make sure that you're still qualified. But then we will go ahead and redo the loan, and we'll do another 10-year term. You know, again, we'll do 20-year amortization on this property, and everything will be great. But what if during that time, you know, we've seen another kind of crisis in the marketplace where the banks don't have an appetite for doing commercial loans anymore? You know, as I record this, June 8th of 2023, we are on what a lot of folks are predicting is the precipice of a pretty significant issue with commercial financing. You know, we have a lot of people that bought commercial properties, and they bought them during very low interest rate periods, and there is a increasing number of these loans that are coming due or adjusting. You know, the balloons are due, or the interest rates are adjusting, which is another issue which we're not talking about today. But we're seeing a lot of that. And in some cases, a lot of the occupancy on these commercial buildings is down. And so we're seeing sort of a, you know, quasi-perfect storm of sorts of, you know, kind of issues going on where some of these folks are not going to cash flow anymore with these much higher interest rates. I mean, interest rates have essentially doubled in the last 18 months. And so now you've got a significant uptick in interest rates, and, you know, the properties are not performing in a lot of cases. That's not universally, but in a lot of cases, the properties are not performing as well as they maybe were, you know, 5 years ago when they got these loans or something like that. And so we're sort of seeing what could potentially be, I don't know, a squeeze at least. And who knows if this will get worse in the future. And so you don't want to set yourself up where you've got this balloon coming due and you cannot get out of the deal. I mean, you cannot refinance it. And because no one else can get financing either, because the market conditions, the economy is such that no banks are wanting to make these loans at reasonable rates. Maybe there are people willing to do it, but the rates are really ugly. It's almost like hard money type loan rates in order to get these things done. And so, you know, there's no one to sell it to, because there's no easily available financing to get these. And the only people that are buying are people that are buying it for all cash. And they're getting, you know, huge discounts because they know that they're the only buyers. So this could be a real issue. Now, is this going to happen universally? No. We have a long period of time of steady state where this is not a problem for anybody. But I want you to be aware that by doing this strategy, by going out there and getting commercial loans that have balloons, there is a new risk you introduce into doing real estate investing. It's not like other types of investing. and it may still be worthwhile for you doing. You know, it's like what we talked about with the quote before. You evaluate this, you say, okay, look, you know, what are the chances this could happen? And I'm prepared to deal with that if it does. Okay. So balloons are one of the ways that loans can go through. It's the obligation to pay off the loan in full on a predetermined date in the future. And so a lot of times when people get these commercial loans, you know, usually five units or more, then a lot of the loans are going to be like this, where they have some type of balloon associated with them. It is very unusual to get a loan for five units or more that does not have a balloon. It's exceptional to find one that does not. Most of them do have balloons. Whereas most of the loans for like single family homes, condos, townhomes, duplexes, triplexes, fourplexes, like all of those, you know, the overwhelming majority of loans for those do not have balloons and the loans cannot be called due. And so you have like these issues. Well, they can be called due, but not for, they don't have balloons, like the obligation to be paid off. So I want to be clear of that, because we're going to talk about a different exception later here. But for a lot of those single family homes, condos, townhomes, duplexes, triplexes, fourplexes, we're getting 30-year fixed rate financing that do not have balloons. And so there is not a balance that is due. You actually pay off the loan over time, and the lender does not have the right to be able to call those loans due early because you have a balloon in place. Okay. There's other reasons they can call the loan early, like if you don't pay, as an example, or if you breach the contract you have with them, which we're going to talk about next. Those are examples. So let's go right into that. So another way that loans are called due is by breaching the obligations, breaching the agreement you have with the lender. It's a violation of the underlying loan agreement where the lender then has the right to call the loan due. Here are a couple examples, some very common examples, in fact. Example number one. Buying properties creatively, like taking over loans subject to the existing financing, or by buying a property on a lease option where you are leasing the property from somebody and you have an option to buy it, or you are the person offering a lease with an option, is another example of this, where the lender, the loan that you have with the lender, can technically be called due because you have now violated the agreement that you have with the loan, with the lender on the loan. The loan document itself, okay? And in other classes, I've actually read you the due on sale, due on transfer section of a mortgage, of a standard mortgage agreement, and I explained to you that this is what is actually in the document you're signing, because most people are not stopping and reading the document that they're signing to get this loan, and that they have no idea that that is even in there. And it is in there, okay? So, one example would be, you go out there, you do marketing, you try to go find a motivated seller, you come to an agreement with the seller where they're going to transfer ownership of the property. They're going to deed you ownership of the property, and you are going to agree to make payments on their underlying loan. By doing that, by buying a property subject to, which is what I just described, by buying a property subject to the existing financing where they deed you the property and you take over ownership, the lender has the right, but not the obligation, to then say, we didn't agree to this. You violated the terms of our loan agreements. We can ask that you actually pay off the entire balance of the loan right now, or we will begin foreclosure proceedings and force you to pay off the loan, or we will take possession of the property. So they can do that. Now, is this happening all over the place? No, there are people buying properties subject to, or buying properties and using lease options, and, you know, either acquiring properties on lease options or selling properties with a lease with an option for them to buy, or a lease with a purchase contract, the same thing. You know, all these things in place that the lender can call them due. Are we seeing this happen? No, but you want to understand that this is a risk. It is a right that the lender has if you decide to do this. If you decide to buy properties creatively, take over loans subject to, or like use lease options, that the lender can call the loan due. And so it's a valid risk, okay? Another one. So not that I'm aware of, with any of the kind of single family home, condo, townhome, duplex, triplex, fourplex purchases where we're buying properties and usually, you know, using them to rent them out or living in them as house hacker or nomad or whatever it is, but getting these like 30-year fixed rate financing loans or 15-year fixed rate financing loans, less than five units, they don't usually have this clause in there. However, when you go above five units and get these commercial loans, most of those loans, I'd say most of those loans, I don't know if it's every single one, but most of them are going to have a clause in there where they have the ability, the lender has the ability, the right to have updated financials from you at a regular interval. They may say, look, we want to see an updated financial from you every year or every 2 years or every 3 years or every 5 years or whatever it is. And then you have an obligation, because you signed those documents, to provide the lender with updated financials about your current financial situation for owning that property. Now, what happens if you go and you buy a, you know, 100 unit apartment building, and you know you're the person who got the loan on that particular thing, and you know 3 or 4 or 5 years from now, they ask you for your financials, and your life has taken a turn for the worse, and your financial situation is no longer good. The property is still performing. The property still looks amazing. And in fact, you're relying on that property for your income at that point. But your other part of your financial, maybe you had, you know, unexpected medical bills, and you know, you've had to have, you know, some significant setbacks related to that. Maybe it's a person in your family, or maybe it's you, or you know, maybe you have a bankruptcy or foreclosure on something else unrelated. Maybe there was an accident and, you know, someone sued you and it forced you into this really uncomfortable situation. Well, now you no longer meet the proper financial strength under the agreement that you had for that pre-agreed upon financial review. And the lender can, as they have the right to actually call the loan due based on that. So that is another way, by breaching your underlying agreement with the lender, where this could happen. And it doesn't usually, that one in particular doesn't usually apply to, you know, buying, you know, single family homes, duplexes, triplexes, fourplexes, where you're acquiring properties and you've got these 30-year fixed rate financing. They don't ask you for updated financials. It's one of the benefits of doing those types of loans versus doing commercial loans. Okay. So just realize that these things exist in a lot of these documents. And there's a possibility that you go get a loan from a lender and they don't have that in there. That's great. Then you no longer have that risk. But you need to read your commercial documents, or have your attorney read and then ask questions about your attorney. Make a list of the things that you need to ask whenever you get a new loan for your attorney, and have your attorney read it and find out if that is in there and what it means and how it would work if that were to come up. Okay. And then that third one we talked about is an agreement where the lender has the right to close down a line of credit, like a home equity line of credit or a home equity loan, is another way of saying that, at their sole discretion. So you go out there and you borrow, you know, whatever it is, you know, $400,000 as a home equity line of credit. Not that you have a mortgage on it otherwise. This is like it replaces your mortgage. You had a free and clear property. You're like, look, I wouldn't be able to tap the equity in this particular property. And so I want a line of credit on it that I could use to kind of like, you know, buy a fixer upper, fix it up, and then repay back the loan. I'm kind of using my own money in order to do this. Well, you might think to yourself, hey, this is a, you know, 10-year loan. And so I've got it for 10 years. But in that document, in most of those home equity line of credit documents, the lender has the right to actually close that down at their discretion. So you may think, hey, I'm going to have this. And maybe you have all the money out for something. You're doing a deal and you think you're going to be able to keep it out there for a long period of time. And the lender's like, no, we actually are closing down that thing. It is now going to a, you know, we're going to switch it over and force you to pay it off over a period of time. Or maybe they have in their provisions, it's probably a little bit more unusual. Maybe they have a balloon provision in there where it actually has to be paid off in full after a certain period of time. So make sure you read and understand that. Now, are most of the lenders, they're going to offer you a home equity line of credit and then they're going to close it down? No, but what happens is most of the time when these things become issues is from extreme market conditions. You know, everything is great when everything is going great. No one cares. Everything is going amazing. You don't have to worry about, you know, your financial strength, and you don't have to worry about, you know, being able to refi when you have a balloon on a property. You don't have to worry about, you know, interest rates going crazy when you have these, you know, variable rate loans. You know, everything goes smooth until, you know, poop hits the fan and everything goes to heck. And then you've got like the falling apart of some, you know, the economy or something like that. Well, what I'm pointing out to you is that these can happen with these extreme market conditions. You know, 2008, 2009, 2010, when we saw this, you know, pretty drastic real estate market condition happening, there were a lot of home equity lines of credit that were closed down. And so just realize that that can happen again. Now, that was probably the worst one we saw in our lifetime. And I don't want to be an alarmist and tell you that, you know, we're likely to see something like that again. It's probably very low probability. I mean, as far as like probability of risk go for like some of these things, these really extreme market conditions, it's not likely to happen, but who knows? I mean, we really don't know what's going to happen, right? So it's not likely. So this is like a, you know, if you think about my risk matrix, this is probably like a low probability, a low frequency type of an event, but it can be really, really ugly. And what the hard part is, if it's an extreme market condition that has caused you to have this issue, you know, the extreme market condition is what causes the lender to say, we are not going to renew your loan with this balloon. So you need to go somewhere else. We want to be paid off in full. You're going to need to go find another lender. Well, if it's the extreme market condition that caused them to have that stance, it may make it really, really difficult for you to go sell the property because the market condition makes it hard to do that, or to refi with someone else. And so it gets compounded. It's not like, hey, you know, if this lender won't do the loan anymore, I'll just go find someone else. Well, the reason why the lender may not do it is because no one is going to do it, or it's going to be really, really ugly to have someone who is willing to do it. Okay. So it may make it very difficult, may make it impractical, or it may make it completely impossible to either sell or refinance to solve this problem. So just realize that that is not a automatic good solution for you to come up with. Okay. So let's talk about some options when the loan is called due. First of all, how do we avoid this? Number one is don't do balloons. Balloons are for clowns. Don't do balloon loans. If you want to eliminate this risk completely, just don't take on the risk of having any type of balloon on your properties where the lender can call the loan due, where they can say, we want to be paid off in full. Okay. And as another option, don't breach your agreement. You know, maintain good financials if you've got that in your contract that says you can do it, or don't buy properties subject to, or don't do lease options. Those are some ways to avoid breaching the agreement. Understand what the rules are, what you're signing, what you're agreeing to, and then don't violate those rules. I know this sounds overly simplistic, but that is the way to avoid this stuff, right? Don't do balloons and don't breach your agreement. But what happens if it is called due? What happens if you do are in a situation where you're like, okay, look, I know the risks. The strategy is so compelling that I still want to do it. Okay, you know, you're an adult. You can decide what level of risk you want to take on when you're investing in real estate. You want to take on like very little risk, you do certain strategies. You want to take on more risk, you do other strategies. You want to take on a lot of risk, you can do other strategies. And you decide this is an acceptable risk for you and that you feel like you've got solutions. So what are the solutions? Well, if you get a situation where the loan is called due, you could sell the property. If it's caused by extreme market conditions, it may not be pretty selling the property. But if it's just like, you know, some really unusual event, and it's just like a one-off and it's not really an overall economic kind of collapse, catastrophe sort of situation, then selling your property may be a completely viable solution. You could choose to pay off the loan. You know, if you've got $10 million in cash or stocks or bonds somewhere else, and you've got, you know, $2 million of loans that have a chance of the loan being called due because, you know, you've got a balloon on them, or, you know, you're doing subject to deals on them or whatever it is, and you have the liquidity to be able to address any of those issues, it's not an issue. You know, I think it's Dan Sullivan who has a quote, Dan Sullivan of Strategic Coach. He has this quote. I think he says, if you have, I'm probably bastardizing it, so I apologize to Dan Sullivan at best, but I think his quote is, if you have the money to solve the problem, you don't have a problem. Right. If you could pay and have the problem go away, well, you don't have the problem anymore. So if you have $10 million sitting on the sideline and you've only got $4 million worth of exposure with these kind of like balloons and or loans that could be called due because you're doing, you know, subject to or lease options or whatever else there is. So you have the ability to pay off those loans. It's not really an issue, right? The loans can call due. Okay, well, I liquidate my stock market account and I pay off that loan. Not an issue. What if it really got ugly? You could give the property back. You could give the property back to the lender, offer them a deed in lieu of foreclosure. Okay. In some cases, you may be able to undo the breach and get the lender to agree that you are okay. So for example, you transfer the property to the name of an LLC and you offer to, kind of use that as an investment vehicle, which, you know, I'm not going to get into the details and subtleties and nuances of this, but if the ownership actually changes by transfer into an LLC, not just for asset protection reasons where you still are the same owner, the lender can call the loan due. But, go talk to your attorney to get advice on this because it's a gray area and certain people disagree with what I just said. Okay. Certain people agree with what I said, but certain people disagree with it. But if you transfer to an LLC and the lender says, hey, listen, we noticed that you transfer ownership. We didn't allow that. That's in a violation of our agreement. We want you to pay off the loan. And you say, stop for a second. I'll transfer the property back to me. And they're like, okay, well, if you do that, we'll allow you to not do it. Or they may say, no, that's unacceptable. You know, we really want this loan paid off. We're just waiting for you to screw up. Now that you've screwed up, we're not going to go back and do that. And so they don't care if you transfer it back. They may say, no, we're still want it paid off because you did violate it. And we consider that to be a breach. And so realize that that may be an issue and that you may not be able to solve it if that's the case. Or if the loan is called due, you may be able to refinance. That lender may say, look, we're calling the loan due. We're not doing these loans anymore. But you go across the street and you go to a different bank or a different mortgage broker and you're able to actually refinance it. And it's a non-issue, you know, because it's not a catastrophic, you know, economy-wide issue. It's just an issue with that particular lender or that particular situation with that lender. And the lender's like, you know, we're not doing this anymore. And then you go across the street and the other lender's like, yeah, we'll do it. You're doing these loans all day long. We'll do it for you. We'll refinance it. And it's not an issue. Or bring in a partner. Imagine someone else who's got that $10 million sitting in the stock market or cash or somewhere else, and they've got the money in order to do that. Well, bring them in to be partly owner of the deal or make them a loan partner in the deal and give them some equity or whatever you need to do in order to negotiate an agreement where that could work. And that could be a solution to when your loan is called due. But those are primarily the solutions that I could think of for when a loan is called due and what you might have to deal with. All right. So in conclusion, life has risk. It's full of risk everywhere. I gave the example of driving a car, and you could be doing everything right and things can go bad for you. Or you could be doing everything crazy and wrong and things could go okay for you. And so you can't just use, well, nothing's ever happened. This is not an issue because I've driven while snorting cocaine and, you know, whatever the kids are calling, TikToking or whatever they're doing here, where they're showing their videos while they're driving and talking on the phone and smacking the kids and putting makeup on and everything else. And, you know, you could have that be an issue where nothing has happened to you. And you think, oh, that's totally fine. I'm fine with that. It could go the other way, too. Okay. When you do real estate investing, you voluntarily take on additional risks. There's additional risks in doing any type of investment. You invest in stocks, you invest in bonds, you invest in real estate. You know, you go put your money in this local savings bank, you know, whatever you decide to do with your money, put it under the bed. Like, no choice is without its own set of unique risks. So by doing real estate investing, you have additional risk. Utilizing some real estate investing related strategies, certain methods of investing in real estate adds additional risk that does not exist in other strategies. If you do commercial loans, you are taking on a new, different type of risk than if you do 30-year fixed rate financing without balloons. It's just a fact. Different risks, you add them by choosing the strategy you do. You decide to do investing creatively with subject to and lease options, you are taking on new risk. Different risk than if you go buy traditional single family homes with 30-year fixed rate financing that you got yourself, okay? You can still take action and come up with solutions based on these risks coming to fruition, like the like things happening to you, like loans being called due or balloons or the market going crazy or your financials not being there and then the lenders wanting to review your financials. You can choose to take actions based on those things. So it's not like you don't have some agency in this, but sometimes the choices are less than ideal and they're not perfect. But as we started with the quote from George Patton, you need to address the battlefield, understand all the risks that are out there, then take action despite all those risks. This is not an excuse not to invest in real estate, right? This is for you to understand these are the risks with real estate. Let me consider real estate. Let me consider all these other options for investing that I have, and then make a decision about what type of risk is acceptable to you and what you're willing to take on and what you're kind of like understanding of what the probabilities are for those and get advice, you know, go talk to your CPA, your accountant, your attorney, you know, financial advisor, if you've got one of those, you know, understand what the pros and cons and risks are for things and then make prudent decisions based on that. All right, that's all I got for you. Hope you enjoyed this class. This has been James Orr. Have a great day, everybody. Bye-bye for now.